Just out today from the Federal Reserve, the first raise in the key interest rate in several years, 0.25%. That came out today along with a look at key indicators about the current and future state of the American economy. Fed Chair Jerome Powell spoke at a press conference shortly after the projections were released following a two-day meeting of their policy committee. Here's a little of what Powell had to say during the question and answer period.
It's clearly time to raise interest rates and begin the balance sheet shrinkage. And I just wanted to say that as I looked around the table at today's meeting, I saw a committee that's acutely aware of the need to return the economy to price stability and determined to use our tools to do exactly that.
We're going to dig into what all of that means, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. The interest rates have been low for quite a while. Has that affected you when it comes to borrowing money to buy a house, a car, go to school, you name it? Are you worried about the impact of inflation? Did you want to see some action taken at the federal level? What questions do you have about how inflation links to things like our employment level here in the country? You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Kevin Barr is professor of finance and chief analyst for the Center for Business and Economic Insight at UW-Stevens Point. Kevin, welcome back to Central Time.
Rob, nice to be here. Thank you very much.
All right, what is this interest rate? What does it mean when the Fed nudges it up?
Okay, so what the Federal Reserve does, they target this very short-term interest rate. It's called the Fed funds rate. And when they change this rate, there's basically a rippling effect through the United States economy. So, for example, when they increase this rate, you can expect to see interest rates go up on consumer loans, on mortgages, and eventually also really on savings deposits. So there's basically, when they change this rate, there's a rippling effect throughout the entire economy. Now, one thing I should say as far as this rate and the increase today, the Federal Reserve had this rate targeted at between 0 and 0.25%. Which is incredibly historically low. If you go back over the last 75 years in the United States, this interest rate was only this low one other time, and that was right after the financial crisis in 2008. What the Federal Reserve does, they try to lower this rate when the economy is struggling, like during the financial crisis, and then in 2020 during COVID, and then they will typically ramp up the rate when the economy starts coming back. So, for example, back in 2010, we started this extremely long period of economic growth. When you got to 2018, the Fed funds rate was between 2.25% and 2.5%. So as far as an increased rate today, yes, that was expected. Yes, it can counter inflation to some extent. But there are other factors going on, and we can talk about those other factors. But interest rates have just been historically low. So an interest rate increase, very expected.
Right. And I was looking at a chart of interest rates over, I think, the last 40 years. And even after those nudge ups you mentioned after the Great Recession, it's still just like really, really low when you compare it to what it had been for decades before that.
Yeah. You know, one thing, I mean, if you're relatively young, you don't remember. However, I do remember the Fed funds rate, if you go back to the turn of the century, was at 6%. One of the strongest decades in economic growth ever for the United States was back in the 1990s. And a lot of that had to do with the advent of the internet and tech companies growing very rapidly. You had GDP growth in excess of 4% several years. And the Fed funds rate over the last half of that decade, typically between 5 and 6%. So what we've experienced really over the last 10, 15 years is just really historically low. It just typically doesn't operate like that.
Okay, now let's look at why the Fed is doing this. I think it's mostly inflation. How does the interest rate relate to inflation?
Okay, excellent question. Not exactly an easy answer.
What my job's easier than yours. What can I say?
It's a much easier question to ask. I mean, it's a much basically it's a lot easier to ask the question than give the answer. But when the Federal Reserve increases the interest rate, you know, it increases borrowing costs for consumers. It increases borrowing costs for corporations. So that will have the tendency to temper demand. So you lower demand relative to a given supply, and then prices start to back off. Now, that being said, in the last couple of years, we've had some extraordinary things go on in the United States. It's not just demand or government spending that's driving inflation. It's basically supply chain issues. That's been a biggie. And you've also had energy prices that have really kind of gone through the roof. Energy prices are up over 25% in the United States in the past year. They're up over 25% in the European Union as well. I mean, it's basically a global increase in energy prices. Now, typically you expect energy prices to kind of go up really after you have a sudden turnaround, very rapid economic growth after a downturn, because it takes a while for energy supplies to kind of get ramped up. Inventories were drawn down during 2020. But then you add to that basically the Russian invasion of the Ukraine. And so there are some things about inflation that the Federal Reserve can control, like demand. But when it comes to the supply side, like the supply chain stuff, you know, the Russian invasion of the Ukraine and how that has impacted oil prices, there's really not an awful lot they can do about that.
We're talking to finance professor Kevin Barr from UW-Stevens Point, looking at the Federal Reserve bumping up the interest rate, the very low, as he was saying, interest rate, plans to do some more of that through the year. Part of an effort to target inflation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about what this means, but what it means for you about inflation? And are you feeling the effects of inflation? Do you think something needs to be done here? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Kevin, you mentioned some of the things that bumping up this interest rate will affect and things that people might interact with. For consumers, what does an increase in the interest rate, possibly more to come this year, mean for some of their activities they might do? A house hunting, car buying, that kind of stuff.
House hunting, car buying, consumer loans, are the interest rate on consumer loans you can expect to increase. You can expect mortgage rates to increase. The Federal Reserve also said a couple of other interesting things today in terms of they not only said that they're increasing interest rates currently by 25 basis points or 0.25%. So that would put the Fed funds rate at a level, targeted level of between 0.25 and 0.5%. However, then they also went on to state that they have a projection for the Fed funds of about between 1.75 and 2% by the end of 2022. And perhaps between 2.75 and 3% by the end of 2023. So in other words, you can expect multiple rate increases, kind of a gradual ramp up in interest rates, not only by the Fed, but also on consumer loans, if you're gonna purchase big ticket items, and also on mortgage rates. You can expect that to start to ramp up fairly soon and continue for the next couple of years.
Now, in that clip we heard from Jerome Powell, head of the Fed, he mentioned raising interest rates and also the balance sheet shrinkage. Now, the Fed had been investing in some stuff that was aimed at boosting the economy. What's going on there? What's that part of the story?
They kind of pretty much go hand in hand. When the Federal Reserve buys these, they buy treasury securities, and they buy treasury securities and they pump more money into the United States economy, which has the tendency to make credit easier to get. That also will put a downward pressure on interest rates. When they take money out of the economy, which is basically what they would be proposing to do when they're winding down their purchase of treasury securities or selling treasury securities, they're taking money out of the economy. So they're making credit conditions a little bit tighter, a little bit harder to get, and that can also put some upper pressure on interest rates. But typically, that what they do with their government purchases pretty much goes closely hand in hand with what they're doing with the Fed funds rate.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Thomas is with us in Milwaukee. Thomas, hi.
Hey, obviously, you know, we've felt the you know, $300+ heating bill for the last few months, the up in gas and whatnot, but the that's internal. Speaking about the sort of implications of the external, like, impacts on the economy, what are the impacts if the U.S. status as petrodollar ceases, something like that. Like, how drastic potentially could something like that happening? I heard that the King Prince of Saudi Arabia is floating that idea around of switching to the Chinese currency. I don't know if you guys have heard anything about that, or, you know, that's my question.
Thomas, thanks for the call. Yeah, talks apparently between Saudi Arabia and China saying we would accept payment in yuan, the Chinese currency, instead of just the dollar. I'm pretty sure they'd still take dollars. What do you think of that? Would that be something that would affect us, Kevin, in the prices we pay?
It can affect the value of the dollar or the strength of the dollar relative to foreign currencies if you have another foreign currency basically accepted as payment, which then in turn would affect the price of exports and imports. If the dollar becomes weaker, then it basically would mean that anything that we would, it would, when I say the dollar would become weaker because now you have another currency in demand. If the dollar becomes weaker, then anything that we would import becomes relatively more expensive and could be passed along to consumers. Where this goes as far, I mean, a lot of this stuff I think can also get to be political as far as, you know, accepting another currency rather than the United States dollar. I think, though, your caller brings up an excellent point. There are so many factors that play into this little sort of inflation puzzle that we have going on right now that it's really extremely difficult to predict where things are going over the next year or two. Another thing I kind of want to throw out, if you look at oil prices, oil price futures are down about 20% since just the beginning of March. And now one of the things that that appears to be affecting oil markets is the fact that you have another COVID outbreak in China. Well, if you have a COVID outbreak in China, and China shuts things down pretty quickly. Well, China is basically the number two user of crude oil, right behind the United States. Well, if that lessens the demand for crude oil, okay, oil prices will then come down as the futures market has done. But then that could also disrupt the supply chain even more. We basically import about 20% of our imports come from China. So you got a lot of different factors that are going on that are going to affect, that could affect prices.
Thanks for that call, Thomas. We're talking to Kevin Barr, professor of finance and chief analyst for the Center for Business Economic Insight at the University of Wisconsin. Stevens Point, the Fed announced a 0.25% raise in the key interest rate today. We're talking what that means, what it means for inflation, and you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on that, your questions about what it means, your solution, if any, to inflation. Call 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with Kevin Barr, professor of finance and chief analyst for the Center for Business and Economic Insight at UW-Stevens Point, looking at the Fed's announcement today that it will raise the interest rate to help manage inflation. Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Miles is with us in Green Bay. Miles, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to bring up, Miles?
I just wanted to ask, I seem to remember, like, in the year or so leading up to COVID, there were conversations around raising the interest rates that I think Trump kind of put pressure on the Fed to avoid raising the interest rates back then. And I just wanted to know, I mean, obviously COVID had the biggest impact on anything that's going on right now, but how much of an impact could that have maybe had? I mean, would anything be any different if the Fed had been able to raise rates when things were going better?
Miles, thanks for the call. There were some increases in 2018, maybe not as much as some people wanted. I think, Kevin, what do you think of Miles's question?
Excellent question, Miles. You had a couple of things going on toward the end of the last decade. In 2016, I believe it was, the Federal Reserve actually did start to increase interest rates from that 0 to 0.25% historically low rate that they had put in place after the financial crisis. So it was kind of a gradual increase in interest rates 2017, then again 2018. I believe it peaked at between 2.25 and 2.5%. And as Miles points out, there was pressure put on by the Trump administration. But again, the Federal Reserve is supposed to act in an independent manner. Kind of the big thing that was going on in 2019 you had this sort of fairly significant trade war that the United States had with, you know, pick a country, and we may very well have had tariffs with them. It's not only China, but also Canada, the EU, whatever. And so there was a concern that all that trade war stuff was going to have an economic slowdown on the United States. And so consequently, interest rates started to come down in 2019. And again, they bottomed out with COVID. But you had kind of the ramp up did start in 2016, but then it was reversed in 2019. And a lot of that had to do with the tariffs, the tariff war.
Thanks for the call, Miles. Doug joins us now in Colfax. Doug, hello.
Hello. I'm wondering about some of the reporting about inflation being somewhat elevated because of all the government payments for COVID. Most of us got that. A lot of us spent it. And that may have some effect on driving up interest rates and, I mean, inflation. And I'm wondering if that may reduce the future interest rate hikes of 2.5 or whatever next year.
Doug, thanks a lot for that call. And Doug's getting into an issue I hadn't brought up yet, Kevin, fiscal policy, putting a lot of money in people's hands for COVID relief. How big a part of the inflation story was that?
Okay, well, there's a couple of different ways to look at it. Number one, there's no doubt that the COVID relief and the government programs that were basically put in place with COVID, that did increase consumer demand. You had unemployment go from 14.7% basically in April 2020. Now it's down to about 3.8%. You had 152 million people employed in the United States before the COVID hit. Then that was dramatically reduced down to 130 million. Now it's back up to 150 million. So we're still a little bit less. So there's a couple of different ways that you can look at it. Yes, consumer demand definitely came back. Consumer demand came back, but supply didn't come back. So that's where you get the imbalance. We didn't have any, you had 152 million people employed, relatively low inflation before COVID. Well, what changed with a couple of million fewer people employed now, but now you have this 7.9% inflation. Well, what's the difference? And a lot of that's got to do with the supply chain. And we've also kind of had the labor market has impacted this as well, because you've had a tightening of the labor market. You've had various issues in the labor market between people not always feeling comfortable and working during COVID versus perhaps feeling a disrespect by customers versus just being burned out and stressed out, particularly if you're in healthcare, if you're in elementary or secondary education. So a number of factors, I think, do play into this.
Thanks for that call. Mike joins us now in Green Bay. Mike, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Mike?
A couple questions. So I think you mentioned something about 20% imports from China. Are you talking about oil imports, or from my perspective, you need to go into any store like consumer products, and I mean, just to the Android, say 50% of it's made in China or somewhere to that extent. And then my second question was how much inflation related to oil prices. So, fact of fiction, Russia, you know, we only import, I don't know, 10% maybe?
I gotcha. Mike, I don't have a great signal, but I think we got your questions. First of all, Mike thinks that 20% of imports, coming from China sounds low to him. We have pretty big trading partners north and south of our borders, right?
Yeah, the 20% figure that I threw out, that has got to do with import of goods, not import of oil. The United States does import some oil, but it's really not from China. China imports a lot more oil than what they export. They consume a lot more than what they produce. So China is basically an oil importer. So we're not getting the oil from China. That 20% figure that I threw out is basically from it has to do with goods that we get from China. When we are importing oil, and the way this has evolved, the United States is much less dependent upon oil now than what it was, say, 50 years ago during the oil embargo of 1973. We are actually a net exporter of petroleum products, but we do import crude oil to some degree. So it's like we can take the crude oil, we'll refine it, make it into different petroleum products and export that. So we're actually a net exporter of petroleum products. If we do need oil, we can turn to the north and go to Canada for oil. So that the one thing I think I heard part of the question as far as energy prices and how does that relate mm-hmm. to inflation. Basically, recent inflation is accounted for by a third, about a third of that inflation is due to the increase in energy prices. But even that's kind of an understatement because once you have an increase in energy prices, just about everything that you buy is delivered by truck. And so prices will go up because of the energy prices. And I also wanted to maybe throw out another thing that we haven't really talked about as far as this overall inflation stuff. 2021 corporate profits were at record levels. They were 30% higher than what they were back in 2018. So that's another reason why you've had this tick up in inflation. Yes, costs have gone up, but in many cases, prices have gone up to a greater extent than what the costs have gone up to corporations.
Kevin, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob. Anytime. Thank you very much.
We're talking to Kevin Barr, professor of finance and chief analyst for the Center for Business and Economic Insight at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. He joined us today for a look at the Fed's announcement that came out this afternoon, officially that it's raising the interest rate a bit. The levels still stay low. What those moves mean for our economy going forward and what they mean for you. Still time for you to share your thoughts. You can always tweet us at Central Time WPR. That's at Central Time WPR on Twitter.